Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 19. And when the hour came, he sat at the table, and his disciples were with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Turn in the black hymnal to number 2260. Let us be bread. This is new to us. We're going to sing it through twice, but Mary Lou will play it through. It's a very simple tune as we prepare for our sermon and for our communion. 2260. Be seated. That's a wonderful new song for us. I hope we sing that again. Great words, particularly on a communion Sunday. Thank you, choir, for that wonderful number this morning, too. Will you pray with me? Lord, open the ears and eyes of our hearts and minds for what you have this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dave and I used to be roller coaster aficionados. In fact, we took a family vacation one summer and we went from amusement park to amusement park in the Midwest just to ride all of the roller coasters. Now, I got to tell you that my all-time favorite is the stand-up roller coaster. If you've never been on it, you're missing something. You straddle a seat, and then the big harness comes down like on regular roller coasters, and you're four abreast, and then there's maybe three rows of four people in each car. And then you begin the descent, the ascent, up that first hill, just like every other roller coaster, until you hit the peak, and then down you go, and it's down and around. But the best part is when you go completely upside down. I got to tell you, there's no feeling like going upside down, standing up on a roller coaster. I highly recommend it. When we were living in, one of the times we were living in Southern California, it was when our boys were young, one of our favorite adventures was to go to Magic Mountain. That's one of the Six Flags amusement parks. It was about a half an hour from our home, and so we would get an annual pass. And our favorite day of the year to go was December 23rd, because nobody was there, and we could get on the roller coaster and get turned right around and get right back on it again. Now, my favorite roller coaster at Magic Mountain was, and is, still is there, the Revolution. It's a steel roller coaster, and if you haven't been on a steel one, it's the smoothest ride you could possibly have. And, you know, that one goes down steep ascents and corkscrews, and then you go upside down at least twice on that one. It's the only roller coaster that I will sit in the very front seat and put my hands up. In that same park sat the Colossus. The Colossus was a wooden roller coaster. In fact, in its time, it burned down a few years ago. In its time, it was the largest wooden roller coaster in the world. And as any roller coaster, it was a jerky, bumpy ride the whole way. Now, they had two tracks on it. And when you went up the first hill and down that first descent, it would get up to 60 miles an hour. Now, compared to other roller coasters today, that doesn't seem fast, but for a wooden roller coaster, it was. And if you sat in the back car of the train, there were times when it would literally lift off the track. A scary feeling. Now, as I said, they had two tracks, and for a while, just a short while, and I only knew them to do it once, they ran the track on the inside, they ran the train going the regular way, but on the outside track, it went backwards. They turned the cars around, and you did the ride backwards. I only did it once. And one of the things that I learned riding that backwards was that when you ride forward, you at least have something to lean back in the headrest, especially when you're going down a hill and the centrifugal force is pushing on you. But when you're riding backwards, it's pushing you forward. And, you know, we jerked around. Also, I found that I didn't know what was coming. I couldn't tell when we were going to go down a hill or whether we were going to do a sharp turn. And so my stomach got queasy and my neck got wrenched. And as I said, once was enough. But I did experience it differently. It gave me a different perspective doing it backwards. And sometimes when we do things differently, it does give us a new perspective, which can be a very healthy thing. You all know that I have said over the last 9 months that I never suggest changing something or doing something different just for the sake of doing it different. But it helps us to focus sometimes on what's important to us, and it helps us better see who we are and how and why we do something. Well, as Christians, it's imperative that what we do and how we practice our faith be biblically grounded. When it comes to our communion service, we ordinarily follow the centuries-old pattern of the church, which comes first from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, that was the first written document in the New Testament that contained information about the Lord's Supper. And Paul tells the Corinthians that Jesus took bread and he gave thanks for it, he broke it, and then he passed it to his disciples. And he said, "This is my body which is broken for you." And then in a like manner, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is God's new covenant, a covenant of forgiveness sealed with my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of your sins." Now, this same pattern was written down in Mark and Matthew. Mark was the first gospel that was written, and then Matthew was the second one written. And they wrote down exactly as Paul had written it in 1 Corinthians. And then when John wrote his gospel, which was the last gospel to be written several years later, he doesn't have the communion service or the Lord's Supper in the upper room. He has it earlier in John 6. He has words of the element of communion in chapter 6, right after the feeding of the 5,000. In the upper room, he has the Jesus washing the disciples' feet. But now we come to Luke's gospel that Claire read for us this morning, a gospel that was written after Mark and Matthew, but before John. And did you hear what Luke writes? "After taking the cup, Jesus gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." First the cup, then the bread. Interesting. Now, there is a second cup that is mentioned in verse 20, which we didn't read today, but in many of the earliest manuscripts of Mark, that verse was not present in the earliest. So, it doesn't contradict anything, because in the Passover meal, there were actually four cups. And so, if Luke is talking about one, he's probably talking about one of the first two cups, and then the bread, and if he did mention another one, perhaps the fourth cup. However, if we take only one cup and bread in Luke, as he suggests, and we do it in the order in which he has it, in other words, if we do communion backwards, what kind of perspective do we get on communion service, and what can we learn from it? Well, the first question is, what does the cup signify? Well, as we mentioned during our Lenten series and during the Lenten time, there are several cups in the Passover meal, and those first two cups would have signified the past to those Jewish disciples. It was a reminder of the first Passover, when the angel of death passed over the children of Israel, and it reminded them of the Exodus out of slavery in Egypt. But Jesus also says in other gospel accounts that it's a cup of forgiveness. It's a cup of the new covenant mentioned in Jeremiah 31. The cup cleanses us, purifies us, sets us free from the past. And our sins are forgiven through Jesus' blood. Bruce Larson tells the story of a Catholic priest living in the Philippines. He was a much loved man of God by his parish, who once carried a very secret burden of a long past sin that was buried in his heart. It was a sin that he had committed once, years before, when he was in seminary. He had confessed it, but he had never felt that he had been forgiven. He couldn't let go of it. He still had remorse over it. There was a woman in his church who claimed to have visions in which she spoke to Jesus and he spoke to her. Now, the priest was a little skeptical about this, so he thought he would test her. And he said, "Now, is Jesus still coming to you in your visions?" She said, "Yes, he is." And he said, "Well, the next time he speaks to you, ask him this question. Ask him what sin your priest committed years ago when he was in seminary." The woman said, "Agreed," and she went home. And a few days later, she came back, and he said, "Well, did Jesus visit you in your dreams again?" She said, "Yes, he did." "And did you ask him what sin your priest committed?" "Yes, I did." "And what did he say?" She said, "He said, 'I don't remember.'" That's the nature of forgiveness that we know in Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:19 says, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." We are set free from all that hinders us, from all that keeps us from being all that God wants us to be, from sin that separates us from God or from each other. And it comes in the cup. But then in Luke's account, Jesus takes the bread then and says, "This is my body, which is broken for you." This is the bread of life. Jesus didn't come merely for forgiveness, but also to fill us up with his living presence. What is essential in life from him? When we are cleansed and we're forgiven, then we need to fill up that space with what Jesus has to offer us. Doing communion backwards reminds us that we are forgiven, and then we are filled with the new presence of Jesus. It's really what communion is all about. This past year, we have been in the process of a discernment of how to be the church right now where we are and in the future. And we've made some changes. We've gotten a new perspective on who we are as a church and why we're here. And things will continue to become even clearer to us in the months ahead. Doing things a bit differently helps us with that. During my first year in seminary, I was a youth director in a local church just outside of Philadelphia. And I worked all during the school year at the church with the youth and then all summer. And one of my responsibilities that summer was to lead, direct the Vacation Bible School. I had a great time with the kids that week. And one of my responsibilities was to lead music. And so every morning we would meet before they would go to their classes and we'd do all kinds of things and we'd sing all kinds of songs. And I said the first day, I'm going to teach you a new song. And it's the song of the books of the New Testament. Now, some of you who are my age might remember those songs that we would learn where we would learn the books of the New Testament or the Old Testament through song. So on Monday, I taught them the song, and then they started to pick it up. And on Tuesday morning, we sang it again, and they were really picking up quickly, as children do. By Wednesday, they had this song down pat. And I said, you know, now Friday night is the closing program when all your family members are going to be here and church people, and we're going to sing this song for them, so we got to really do this well. Thursday, we sang it again with gusto, and I said, now tomorrow night's the night we're going to sing it. But tomorrow morning, I'm going to also teach you how to sing this song backwards. Well, one of the teachers came to me afterwards and she said, okay, they've learned this pretty quickly, but it still took 3 or 4 days for them to learn it frontwards. How are you going to teach them to sing it backwards in one day? Well, Friday morning came and kids were sitting up front and we got up and I said, now tonight's the night, so let's stand up and sing like you're going to sing it tonight. And boy, they belted it out. They had all the words. And I said, okay, now tonight we're going to play a trick on your family members and everybody that's here. I said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to tell them that you learned this new song of the books of the Bible and you're going to sing it just like you did right now. And I said, and then I'm going to tell them that you also learned how to sing this song backwards. And then you will turn around and you will sing the song again. Well, the kids thought this was the greatest practical joke that they had ever heard. And I said, okay, now, you know, it's a joke, so don't tell anybody. You know, so everybody came that night. The kids were all excited. We had it filled up about 5 rows. The church was packed to the rafters with all the moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and all the church people. And so the program started. And at one point I got up and I said, the kids have learned a song this week. It's the books of the New Testament. They want to sing it for you. So I had the kids stand up and boy, they just belted it out and sang it with all their hearts out. And then I said, now we have a surprise for you because they also learned how to sing it backwards. And with that, the kids turned around. But in the morning, the church had been empty. And now it was filled with people. You should have seen the look on their faces. But then they jumped right in and they sang it again. They sang it well, but singing it backwards, particularly that night, gave them a different perspective on things. May our communion this morning and our church's continued discernment over the months ahead give us a new awareness of what Jesus wants of us, a renewed energy for ministry, and a new perspective on our life together. Let us pray. Lord, you came to show us how much you love us by dying for us and our sins, and then you fill us up with new life. We thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of response as we prepare for communion is number 368, My Life, My Love, I Give to Thee. We will sing verses 1 and 3 of number 368. Thank you. You may be seated. We come to this table because God showed His love for us by sending His Son to die for us. We come to this table because of Jesus' willingness to drink that cup of suffering and death for the forgiveness of our sins. We come to this table because Jesus is willing to fill us up with the bread of life that He brings to us. We come to this table because Jesus asked us to remember what He did. And we come to this table because He calls us to follow His example of being a servant. Let us now pray for the bread and the cup. Gracious God, pour out Your Spirit upon this table. And as we drink and eat, may we be filled with Your presence. May the Spirit moving among us allow this bread and cup to empower us as we go out to live Your love in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now celebrate communion backwards. On the night He was betrayed, Jesus met with His friends, His disciples, in that room. In the course of that meal, He took the cup and He passed it among His friends, saying, "This is God's new covenant, sealed with My blood." As the cup is being passed, we are going to be singing the first verse of number 213. I'm sorry, the second verse, very familiar hymn, "Let us break bread together, let us drink wine together." We'll be singing verse 2 as the cup is being passed. You may already know the words and not need the hymnals. We will sing it through once as the cup is being passed. Thank you. forgiveness. Jesus died for our sins. Take and drink and remember. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, broke it, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, broken for you."
I trust that today doing communion backward gave us a different perspective on what Jesus did for us. Before we have our closing circle of departure and fellowship hymn, I want to remind you that we have a fellowship time afterwards in the fellowship hall. All are invited to come down, and particularly if you are willing to help with the getting ahead, stepping up meal, we want to meet down there and get that planned. We know that on the night when Jesus was betrayed, after they had the meal together, and before they went to the Mount of Olives, they sang a hymn. Our tradition is to sing, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds," number 207, verse 1, and we form a circle around our sanctuary and sing the song together. So let us join together. Thank you. hear these words from John 6:51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If you eat this bread, you will live forever. Go now the knowledge that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that he fills you with new life and living bread. Go now to view things with a different perspective.